episode. What a fun week, week 12. A lot going on. Some good games, some bad games. But D-Dub, one of the games that you thought was going to be a little bit of a blowout, but this was pretty close. The Cowboys and the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, from my predictions, I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game. I thought I still thought it was going to be close. You know, my original prediction was, you know, I had the Patriots winning this 34-32, but it ended up being 9-13 with the Patriots coming out on top. This game was another test for the Cowboys. Against a Patriots offense that can't produce. They got a lot of issues up front. Tom Brady, he's doing his thing, 190 yards and a TD, but the receiving core is just it's not where it needs to be right now. Julian Edelman, again, the top receiver, which is great, but they're, you know, the stats look okay, they look mediocre, but you're not scoring. You're not putting up the numbers like you should. You're, you know, settling for field goals. You're not putting up the seven. So this is an issue for the Patriots. The Cowboys, they did not look good at all. I mean, they were able to keep up with the Patriots, but that's because the Patriots offense can't score. Your defense could just stand there, and it doesn't mean nothing. Offensively, the Cowboys, They didn't do much. Zeke, you know, 21 carries for 86 yards. It's not the Zeke that I thought was going to show up. I definitely thought he was going to go a buck, maybe two TDs. It's not what I thought was going to happen. Number one receiver this week on the Dallas side was Randall Cobb. Four receptions for 86 yards. At the same time, no TDs. Everything was field goals on the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones needs to get rid of the head coach ASAP as soon as possible. We had talked about this offline. This team, this Dallas team, was built to win. The way that they acquired their pieces defensively over the last couple of years, and even last year offensively with some of the moves, you know, getting Dak signed. This team is built to win, but the play calling and everything is a big factor in this. Go ahead, Ali. Let me know what your thoughts on this.
To me, it's quite simple. As far as the Patriots go, I don't think they have bad receivers. I don't think the issue is with the receivers at all. We saw that N'Keal Harry, their number one pick in this year's draft. We saw him finally get some playing time. He did some good things. He had some drops, which you should expect from a rookie. I think, to me, the biggest issue with the Patriots is a problem that they've been ignoring for far too long, and it's their offensive line.
That's the issue.
That's the issue with the Patriots. You know, for years, you know, their offensive line has been mediocre. You know, the older Tom Brady gets, the more important that line needs to be. And that's where I think they're lacking. I think Edelman is still a productive receiver. Like I said, I think N'Keal Harry is definitely going to be a good piece for them. Philip Dorsett, you know, I like him. He, you know, he's a speedster, a nice guy on the outside and underneath. To me, I just think the Patriots need to get on that offensive line. And not even for just Tom Brady, but for their running backs. And, of course, for whoever, you know, they plan on bringing in next to replace him. To me, I just think that they definitely need to fix that. As far as the Cowboys go, you know, they don't compete when they need to. I think their offense is very basic. I think they try to do some things and open it up a little bit more, but they're very simple. And the Patriots, when you're playing against a good team that plays man defense very well, slants are not going to win the game.
Nope.
And, you know, underneath things, you know, you might get something underneath, but they're right there. You know, the defenders are right there. So, you know, to me, I think the Cowboys, even though Kellen Moore has done some nice things with Dak Prescott this season and in the overall scheme of things, I think he needs to show a little bit more consistency in opening the playbook more. They have one of the better offensive lines in all of football. You know, like the best offensive line.
Let's not forget that offensive line was built for Tony Romo to produce, and it was great until he got hurt, and then you know you had a series of other quarterbacks before Dak got there, some pieces moved, but it is still a well built offensive line. You know the way that for Zeke to be able to do the things that he does, it's not just him by himself; it's just the offensive, it's with the assistance of the offensive line. Now my gripe with Dallas is offensively, I feel like they've been content with all the wins that they had earlier in the season, and they never really plunged in deep into the playbook. Now, all the wins earlier in the season against crap teams, they didn't have to go deep in the playbook. Zeke didn't have to do much. Hit left tackle, hit the right tackle hole, with, you know, and hit the ends, and he's gone against no good teams. Now, when you're facing these good teams, that's when you see yourself trying to go deeper in the playbook, and because you guys, I haven't seen as much repetition with some of their trickier plays, more of the play action and switching things up, that now you find yourself in trouble against some of these good teams.
I just think they need to just open the playbook more. I think they're done now. I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs anymore. After this loss, they got Buffalo next week. I don't think they're gonna win that game. I just think they're done now. And now is time for them to decide what they're gonna do. Like you said, Jerry Jones got to think about letting Jason Garrett go. I think you know it might be time for a change. I don't think you know it's gonna be you know a huge difference maker depending on maybe who they get. But, you know, I just think it might be time for a change and get Jason out of there. But it, as far as they go for the rest of the season, I don't think they make the playoffs anymore. Philly has a much easier schedule than they do remaining, and I think Philly's going to win out. They have the Giants twice. They still have the Redskins. You know, so I think they're just done, you know, as far as you know, the playoffs go this season. But, of course, the next game, it was Thursday night's game. That had a lot of playoff implications when you talk about, you know, top of the division, wild card maybe, you know, the Texans and the Colts. That was a good one. And I picked the Texans to win because I just didn't see them losing two in a row that bad, especially after not showing against the Ravens. And, you know, not saying that they didn't show up. A lot of teams haven't showed up against the Ravens this season. But, you know, the Texans, they have too many weapons to not be good. And defensively, even without J.J. Watt, I've said it before, I think they played better without J.J. Watt. You know, they were still a number one defense 2 years ago without J.J. Watt. So, you know, they're a very capable group of guys, even though there have been some changes in the last few seasons. They're still bringing in solid football players, tackling guys. You know, they bring in sound guys. And, you know, I think that they still have a chance to win the division. I think that they're going to keep their foot on the pedal and keep on going. The Colts needed to win that game more than the Texans needed to win that game, in my opinion. And I think that loss is definitely going to hurt the Colts in the long run. You know, if you look at the numbers for the Colts, they're all right. You know, they weren't the best of numbers. And, you know, you look at what, you know, Jonathan Williams did. He had 104 yards, but on 26 carries. You look at Jacoby Brissett, 129 yards, and he threw the ball 5 times. That's inefficient, you know, so that, you know, that to me, I don't think that they can sustain great football on long period, you know, of time. Like, I don't see them playing three straight weeks of solid football. Out of 3 weeks, I think they're going to play 1 week of solid football. That's the point I'm at with the Colts right now. I think the only kept them going has been, you know, their defense. And even if you look now on offense, they already, you know, T.Y. Hilton has kind of been hurt and he's been slumped. Marlon Mack is out. They're running backs. You don't really know what you're going to get. I like Jonathan Williams. I think he's been productive the last few weeks, but they're killing him with the workload already. So, you know, like, what's going to happen in the future? They've already lost after Thursday night. They lost Eric Ebron for the season. He's done for the season. So, you know, it's like, where are you at? What, you know, who are you going to have on your team to help you win more games? So I just, you know, the Colts, I think, you know, that loss hurt them. I think that, you know, they're really going to struggle down the stretch and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I completely have to agree with you on that one. Especially with the Colts, with all the injuries and everything that's going on with them, they're starting to lose their momentum. And remember, early in the season, the main thing we were talking about the Colts is how efficient they were in the running game and how they were able to control the clock. You know, Jonathan Williams, you know, had a great game, but they weren't able to control the clock as much as they wanted to. You know, usually when you got the ball for, you know, 30 or 35 minutes in the game, it's a pretty decent amount of time, and you've been running the ball well. You know, with Marlon Mack being out, you don't have that. It was okay. It was decent. Jacoby Brissett throwing like garbage, that doesn't help either. Losing, you know, Ebron, that's a big problem. And T.Y. Hilton barely being healthy, you're really relying on, you know, Jack Doyle and some of your other players like, you know, Jonathan Williams and Nyheim Hines. So that right there disrupts your whole offense, especially when it's based on being able to control the ball by running it. With that being said, on the Texans side, I feel like offensively they were able to pick it up this game, especially with Will Fuller coming back and being able to provide another outlet for Deshaun Watson. Because remember, DeAndre Hopkins was frustrated for a couple weeks. Darren Fells was the only secondary target, and Kenny Stills was, you know, so. So when you have all these pieces and they're not meshing together like they should, and your running game is garbage, you know, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson not running for nothing, it's not good. So for him to be able to get another piece on offense, I think it made him more comfortable. It definitely came down to who was going to have the ball last in this one. We said it was going to be close. I had the Colts winning it on the other way, but hey, Texans came out on top 20-17. And with that, we go on to our next game. Ooh, and I'm not going to lie to y'all. I picked the Green Bay Packers for one purpose only last week because I was tired of seeing them win. I said, maybe if I pick them, they're going to lose, and my strategy fucking worked. The Green Bay Packers got smacked by the San Francisco 49ers, and I knew it was going to happen. I had it in my feeling, in my soul. I was like, you know what? Let me pick the Packers because I know if I do this, they're going to lose. And it worked. Exactly how I thought it was going to go. The San Francisco 49ers are not to be misconstrued with any of these lower teams because they are for real. They're serious. Their defense is top-notch, just as great as the Patriots' defense. Jimmy G didn't do too bad. 253 and two TDs. Robert Mostert, you know, on the rushing didn't do too bad. But their top guy, of course, George Kittle, you know, after not playing a couple of games, comes back, you know, 120 yards plus and two TDs. Now, this guy, to be honest, he's the best tight end in football right now. The best tight end in football. And some of his other receivers were able to, you know, coming to the big picture. Debo Samuel doing again, coming in clutch on certain plays, you know, able to score. But, you know, I'm still iffy about certain guys. Kendrick Bourne, he's got this vibe with him. He can run great routes, but can't catch the ball. A lot of drops. No Emmanuel Sanders. He was there, but he one reception for 15 yards. He was ineffective. Tevin Coleman, stepped in and did their thing, but their running game is not what it used to be. It's not as effective as they would like. And for them to win the NFC, they're going to have to step that running game up. They're not going to be able to get that great field position every time when, you know, there's turnovers. Aaron Rodgers got...
He was best friends with the ground. He was sacked a total of five times.
I don't care what you say. Look, the Green Bay Packers lost. They took the L. Look, they took the L.
You already done disrespected this man too many times.
I don't care what you want to say. I don't care what you want to say. They took the L. Aaron Rodgers was frustrated. You could see it in his face. The best drive was the drive that they had scoring to Davante Adams. And Davante Adams was the one doing all the work. You know, goes with a deep ball, catches a touchdown, and then they got to go for two. And Davante Adams, again, yes, you go to your number one guy, but guess what? You need your other guys to show up too. Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, they both got shut down. The dual running back threat system that I've been talking about, San Francisco find a way to shut it down. They got Joey Bosa on the end. Nick Bosa on the end, and he was able to manipulate the offensive line coming out 3-4 yards deep into the backfield and then rushing Aaron Rodgers, forcing the pocket to collapse. It worked all game long, and that's all I gotta say, because guess what? Aaron Rodgers was on the ground a lot of the time. Go ahead, go talk about your Packers. Go Pack, go.
You just disrespected my man on a whole segment. We have to talk about that. Like, you can't just keep coming at my dog Aaron Rodgers like that, man. The great Aaron Rodgers. Let me tell you, the San Francisco 49ers played a great defensive game. They were able to apply pressure. I'll give them that. The Green Bay Packers line, you know, they struggled. They got a lot of injuries right now, and it shows a lot of inexperience at the right tackle, at left guard, so they're patching things up. That's not an excuse. You have to come prepared. This was a big game. Aaron Rodgers, he's been in plenty of big games. He knows what to expect. I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I don't think anybody showed up because they thought they already won the game. They came in here because I think they already knew that they had won this game and they were just going to relax. The body language was poor. They didn't show any effort. Even when they were getting, three and out, getting sacked, no one cared. So a team like the Packers, a solid team, a great football team, you have to carry yourself a certain way. And once you get to the point where you think you're about to waltz into the playoffs, just like that, it could all end. You're tied right now with the Minnesota Vikings. You own the tiebreaker because you beat them, of course. But just like that, it could all go down. So to me, I think that they need to look themselves in the mirror and say like, hey, we gotta get this together. And I think they need to step their game up because let me tell you, the NFC is no joke. There are a lot of good teams in the NFC. And at this point right now, they were, of course, on pace to potentially, get home field advantage. Now you're waiting on other teams to lose and you're in that type of situation. Something, when you're relying on other teams, it's not always good. I think they definitely need to step their game up. As far as the 49ers go, they look like the real deal, man, on defense. I think it starts up front. I've said this over and over again that they've gone out and drafted studs up front year after year. High draft picks, Buckner, Armstead. They got D Ford from Kansas City. Nick Bosa this year. So, you know, they have definitely, you know, just been dominant up front. To me, I think my biggest concern with the 49ers are their receivers. George Kittle, I still don't think he's better than Travis Kelce, even though he's having a monster year. I think Travis Kelce's on another world when you talk about tight ends. And, of course, you cannot forget Zach Ertz. But George Kittle is right up there with those guys. He's one hell of a athlete. He has passion on every single play. He blocks his ass off. He plays hard every single game. You know, he's definitely what you want in your locker room. However, I don't know about anybody else. Emmanuel Sanders, they you know, traded a lot, in my opinion, to get him. One catch, 15 yards, not going to cut it. Like you said, you know, he's older, so, you know, I don't know what to expect from him in the playoffs. The other guys, like you mentioned earlier, Bourne, don't really know about him either. Pettis, he's got the same thing.
He's got butterfingers.
Yeah, you know, same thing for Pettis. I just don't know who they, you know, have. Debo Samuel looks like he's a solid project. He's a work in progress. Yeah, maybe he can step up, you know, down the stretch. I'm still worried about the 49ers because I just don't think they could beat the Seahawks.
They lost already to the Seahawks, and to be honest, it was really it could have been anyone's game. To be honest, whoever got the ball first in regulation could have won it right then and there. I mean, it went back and forth, but for them to even come back and tie it up to take it to overtime was a big statement. But
beating the Seahawks. I don't see them. I don't see anybody shutting down Russell Wilson. You know, that's just plain and simple. That's my guy right there. I just don't see them being able to shut him down because of what he can do. But like I said, I mean, they're at the top of the NFC right now. You know, they have home field. They get to stay in San Francisco, come to playoffs if this holds up. You know, I think that they're decent. You know, offensively, I think they'll be okay. With the running game, I think that, you know, they got some injuries on the offensive line. So once that comes back together, I think they'll be able to improve the run game a little bit more. And, you know, they have so many guys in the backfield that they hand the ball off to or, you know, throw a pass out of the backfield to. So, you know, they're so many dynamic guys on that offense. So, you know, in the backfield. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as the season, you know, comes to an end in these next couple of weeks. But yeah, I think that the Packers need to step their game up. And I think, you know, we'll see about the 49ers in the next coming weeks. You know, the schedule only gets tougher for them in the next coming weeks. So we'll see what happens. But another team in the NFC, that has been rolling, man. I don't think, but they haven't lost since week two or week three, the Saints. Their last loss was to the Seahawks.
They lost a couple weeks ago. Two games ago?
Man, you tripping, man.
Their last loss was to the Seahawks.
Their last loss was to the Seahawks.
They lost to the Falcons. They lost to the Falcons 26-9.
Even though that was the second week
Drew Brees came back and then they got smacked and we were like, what the hell's going on in Atlanta?
You're right because Atlanta beat the Carolina Panthers the week after. You're right. I'll give you that one. You was right about the Packers and you're right about this, so I don't know. This might be a good week for you, man. But I mean, the Saints and the Panthers, that game, the Panthers had a chance to win it. The Panthers had a chance to win it. End of regulation, 23-yard field goal or something like that. And he missed. He simply missed. They're in the dome. There's no air. There's no wind resistance. There's nothing pulling the ball away from the post. And he missed. And they went to overtime with Drew Brees, Michael Thomas. It's plain and simple to me. I like the Saints. The only thing it's ever been with the Saints to me is, can they win on the road in the playoffs? They don't play well in the road on the playoffs. You know, they're a dome team. If they're not in the dome, then they're pretty much in trouble in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting to see. If you look at, you know, what they did on the day, you know, just from a glance, Drew Brees was efficient. 30 for 39, mm-hmm. 311 yards. He did throw the one interception, but that was against three touchdowns. And Michael Thomas, his first drop. It's all my fault because I was saying he ain't drop a ball all season. And he was cooking, and he got his first drop of the year. But so what? He still had 10 catches on those 11 targets. Over 100 yards receiving. He had a touchdown. He's the best receiver in football, hands down. I don't think anybody can go on Mike. He's legit. You know, if I had to choose a receiver to build my team around right now in the NFL, it would probably be him. He's that dynamite. And
you know what about Michael Thomas? There's one thing that people they really don't say much about him is his IQ. He is very, very smart, especially football-wise. When you see him on the field, he's always aware of where he is. What's going on, next play. He doesn't even have to really get in the huddle. He already knows what's coming up next. You know, a short game, whatever it is, lining up. He knows that slant is coming across the middle, lining up in different formation, no matter what it is. He is a very, very smart football player, and that's what I love about Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he's very solid. And you know, the Panthers, I said it earlier in the year, man. They were going to run Christian McCaffrey into the dirt, and he is starting to get caught in the mud. Carries for 64 yards.
I wouldn't get carried away with that. Average. I wouldn't get carried away with he's, that. It is a 2.9. He's still okay. He still scored a rushing touchdown. But also remember, he is a dual running back threat. It's not only his rushing; he's also a receiver as well.
He had nine
receptions for 69 yards and a TD. But you're talking about a guy who's not only scoring rushing, but also scoring receiving. He's averaging almost two touchdowns a game. This is a problem. Whether his
yardage
running
him into the dirt, they're not winning.
No, you're right.
Games.
You're absolutely
they're
right.
Running him into you're the ab- dirt,
but they're still competing. They're still competing.
They're running him into the dirt. Competing ain't winning. They have
competing
losses.
Is still competing. At the end of the day, winning doesn't just come down to Christian McCaffrey. Remember, they took it overtime. We wouldn't even be having this conversation if they won this game. We'd be talking about how the Saints are in trouble and jeopardizing their playoff position, and the Carolina Panthers would have been 500.
But guess what? They lost. So they're running him into the dirt. If they won, they used Christian McCaffrey great this week, but they lost. So
well, you couldn't say that about Aaron Rodgers, though.
Dirt.
You couldn't say that about Aaron Rodgers, though.
Running him
give it
is
up like
same,
that.
It's the same thing with the Giants. Running Saquon Barkley into the people are mad at Pat Shurmur because Pat Shurmur won't play him. I'm not gonna play him either if we're losing.
No, exactly.
Why
right.
the hell would
exactly
I play right. him if we're losing? I'm not gonna play
Carolina,
him if we're losing.
The Carolina Panthers had a chance to still compete this game. If
not
they
since
win this
3 weeks
game,
ago. Not if, since if three they, weeks ago.
If they win this game, they are right back in the bottom of the wild
they're
card discussion.
Done.
Because
they're nowhere near the wild card now. They're nowhere near the wild card.
Oh, yeah, now they're out of it. They're completely out of it.
Done.
But if they win this game, they knock down the Saints. They move up to 6-6. And
that would have been accurate. They're running him into the dirt.
They are. But he's still an effective piece of this offense. DJ Moore also, you know, went off 6 receptions, 126 yards.
And he'll never do that again this season. He'll never do that again this season. He's the dirt that Christian McCaffrey's going in, is running into. He in the same dirt that Christian McCaffrey running into. Dirt. That's what they are.
Kyle Allen is proving his worth. 23 for 30 out of 36, 256 yards and 3 TDs. He's proven that he can be the next guy.
He can play. He can play. I haven't said he's dirt yet. I haven't said Kyle Allen's dirt yet. Kyle Allen can play. He definitely can play. But they need more talent around him and McCaffrey now. You know, that hopefully in the offseason they're smart and they trade Cam Newton for value. And when I'm talking about value, you get in return what he is. So I'm talking about you need a top-notch player from another team. You need a solid receiver from another team, a solid agent? Tight end. You don't need
what about a free agent?
Nah, you don't need free agent. They don't got no money. Where they going to get the money to get
a
free
agent? What about a free agent?
Free. They ain't got no free. What about they ain't got Antonio no big free Brown. Agent money. Come on,
what
man.
What about Antonio Brown?
Come on, man.
You think he can go up in Carolina and do something?
Let's not waste these people's time, man, talking about Antonio Brown, man. Come on now. Talking about Antonio Brown, man.
But on the real though, they really do need to trade Cam Newton for some serious talent. Offensively, they can go and get another number one receiver and put him on the other side of DJ Moore. And to be honest, the offensive line also
DJ Moore is in the dirt. You don't want another receiver opposite of him. You want another receiver instead of him. He in the dirt.
DJ Moore is producing.
Dirt.
He's producing for them.
Dirt.
How are you going to trade your top receiver?
Dirt. They don't got no top receiver. They need a top receiver.
He's breaking 1,000 yards already. He's at 905 right now. He's definitely gonna break 1,000 yards this season.
He's the only person on the team. You can't if you outside of DJ Moore, you can't name another person on that team. Jarius Wright.
What are you talking about?
Greg
Olsen. You got Curtis Samuel. What are you talking about?
Curtis Samuel. Who? Jarius Wright.
You said name some
Jarius
people. You
Wright.
They had to be good.
I ain't seen Jarius Wright on a video game since NCAA.
Forget Jarius Wright. They need to pick up a new number.
Greg
one,
Olsen,
new number one guy.
You know what Greg Olsen does after the game? He go to Fox and go to somebody booth and do a game. Greg Olsen been done with football. They don't got nobody on offense. That's why DJ Moore got 905 on the season because they ain't got nobody. They need a number one receiver. Dirt.
You're absolutely right.
He cheese.
You can't call him dirty if he's still putting up numbers.
Cheese. Anybody. Come on, man. How many 1,000-yard receivers have graced the NFL and ain't done nothing after that? Come on now.
We're not talking about grace in the NFL. We're talking about for this team this season.
He's the only player. If you're the only player catching the football, then yes, you will have numbers. If you're
Christian
the only
McCaffrey
player
is also catching the football. We're talking about adding an additional component to help alleviate just having the only two options on
dirt.
Offense. This is what call it what it is, but at the same time,
good.
If you bring in another guy, then
he's
you,
not
then you
good.
Can, you could alleviate.
He's not good.
Call it what
DJ,
it is.
DJ Moore is not good.
And with the next game, we go on to the Fitz.
I'm hyped now because my man was hype on this game. Marcus Peters was hype on this game.
Yes. We're talking about the Ravens versus the Rams. And
they traded him away.
I called it. Because last
I didn't think
week,
the Rams were going to win
said,
this.
I said that the Ravens were going to blow out the Rams 38-14. They made it even better, 45-6. I am so hyped about this game because it just shows how bad the Ravens want this chip. They are gunning for it.
Oh, yeah, the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to say that right now. The Ravens are going to the Super Bowl.
Ravens are going to the Super Bowl, and it's either going to be the Seahawks or it's going to be the 49ers. That's my call right now.
They're going to play the Seahawks.
With that being said,
stop disrespecting Aaron Rodgers, man. They're
going to
play.
Come on, man.
Seahawks,
Aaron Rodgers is not going to the Super Bowl. He's almost washed. He's almost done. Let's talk about this game. We talk about the Ravens and the Rams right now. Aaron Rodgers lost this week. Get him off the mic. We giving him too much airtime. We talking about Lamar Jackson. And how phenomenal he did last night.
He was a beast.
15 for 20, 5 TDs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
15 for 25
yeah.
TDs?
Yeah.
With a 139 rating?
Yeah.
QBR? Almost perfect? Oh,
yeah.
Man. I swear.
He's phenomenal. He's a dog. Like I said, I MVP to me is about being the most valuable player. It's not about the stats. And that's why I'm
a player to any team right now.
That's why I still will argue Russell Wilson's case against him. But Lamar Jackson, he's different. You know, he was great at Louisville. I was happy he went to a good team, a team that had, you know, good tradition, a good front office, good coaching and whatnot. You know, he went to the perfect situation. And he is changing the NFL right in front of us.
Yeah, he is. Changing the standard.
He's changing the NFL right in front of us. Like, everyone who has ever said anything bad about him, they're hiding now. They're you know, because he can't throw. He can't do this. He can't do that. And the thing that I never understood is, how the hell could y'all say he can't throw when he almost won a Heisman in college? How the hell could y'all say
he did? He did win the Heisman.
Yeah, in Louisville, you're right. How could y'all say that he's not good? And I never could understand that. I mean, he wasn't Tim Tebow. He was far past Tim Tebow. He was always better passer than Michael Vick was. And of course, he adds the element of the he's not that fast. It's the dazzling quickness and just the elusiveness he has that's different.
I wouldn't say he's not that fast. He is.
Oh, he can run. He can run. I didn't say he can run, he could be right there in front of you, and you reach out and he's gone. Like, that quickness that he has is unbelievable. And to me, not only is it the 15 for 20 for 5 touchdowns, but it's also the 8 carries for 95 yards. He moves the ball. He gets you first downs. He's efficient every time he's on the field. And to me, there's not one defense that I think can stop him right now, to be quite honest with you. You know, I just think that, you know, he's too damn good.
His versatility is just too much.
And he uses everyone. To me, I think that's the beauty of him on offense. He uses everyone. Think of how many people had receptions. Nick Boyle, Mark Ingram, Willie Snead, Roberts, Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews, Miles Boykin. All those players touched the ball. All those players were able to you know, to make a play. And to me, I think that's the beauty of it. You know, in defense, you know, Marcus Peters, you know, this was a game that he wanted to win. They traded him away. He was their number one guy, you know, in Los Angeles. And they traded him away for another number one guy. You know, that's insulting, you know. And I know he had circled this game the moment he got traded to the Ravens. He has transformed the Ravens defense completely. Not only has he brought a level of attitude that they already had, but he's brought toughness, he's brought leadership, and he's brought experience to this team. I think that was the biggest thing. You look at their other cornerbacks, Marlon Humphrey, Brandon Carr, Jimmy Smith. Those guys, yes, have played in a lot of games, but none of those guys have played in big games. Marcus Peters has. And I think that level of experience and leadership, you know, that he brings to them, to those guys, it helps and it boosts what Earl Thomas provides for them. Because Earl Thomas, you know, he's still a dog. I mean, we don't talk about Earl Thomas that much, but that man is still a dog out there. And to me, I think that the Ravens, from top to bottom, they're built efficiently. I think they're a solid football team. I really like the New England Patriots. They were my favorites at the beginning of the season to go back and out of the AFC. But the Ravens have ascended. The Ravens are here. And the Ravens are for right now, man. I think that they're going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. They're my pick. And Lamar Jackson is on pace to break 3,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards. He's got over 800 rushing yards right now. This is amazing because he's done this on less attempts than he did last year. 124 attempts this year, 800 yards last year, you know, with the amount of games, you know, limited that he played on 140 something attempts and only had 700 yards. Now, we're talking about a guy who is just as effective running as well as passing. There are a lot of running backs that are going to break 1,000 yards, but how many quarterbacks are breaking 1,000 yards? That's the real question. Now, you know, you said MVP race, and you know, you want to argue it. Russell Wilson has this factor, especially in the fourth quarter. Yeah, give it to him. But as effective, all-around effectiveness as a player, I have to give it to Lamar Jackson. And it's not just because of the stats. It's because of what he can do with his legs as well as his arm. Russell Wilson can make things happen when there is nothing happening. Lamar Jackson, he makes things happen regardless, whether something's happening or when nothing's happening. And that's why I got him as MVP.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, this game was huge for playoff implications. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Rams,
Rams are done.
This is a game that they needed. And as tight as the NFC is, the NFC ain't no joke, man. That's not a conference that you can slip up in. And you know, now that they're 6-5, that brings them 2 games back from the wild card, 3 games back from the Seahawks in their division, and 4 games back from the 49ers. So I think that, you know, their season is, well, like you said, here's
you know, the crazy part is they got the same record as the Cowboys, but the Cowboys could still make the playoffs because they're going to win the division.
No.
Nope. It's crazy.
No, they're not.
It's crazy.
Eagles winning out, man. Eagles are winning out.
We're going to have to see how it plays out, cuz to be honest, the NFC is such in disarray. We don't know who's going to win. It's either going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys. So it's one or the other. They're only one loss, one win away from each other. So we're just going to have to see. I mean, it is what it is. But with that being said, we have a lot of prospects, especially for the playoffs. I already told you, I got the Ravens winning it all. They look hungry. They look like they want to take it all, and they want to do it in style. They want to smear blood on the field. They want it. They want it bad.
You can just say Game of Thrones, man. It's talk about smear blood.
No, but you could see it. You could see it. Lamar Jackson on the one play where, you know, he scrambles and he almost scores a touchdown. It was not perfect for him. He is chasing perfection, and that's okay. And a guy like that who is humble enough to say this was not my best effort, even though the play was still great, is providing greatness, and I want to continue to see it. Even Mark Ingram is not getting enough credit. He is producing. How long has Mark Ingram been in the league?
He went from the Saints and then he became a free agent and he goes over to the
Ravens and he's still putting up numbers. 111 yards on 15 carries, and it's great to see him still producing. He's having a phenomenal year. And I think everyone's feeding off Lamar Jackson's energy. The organization's feeding off the energy. The fans, everyone is feeding off Lamar Jackson's energy. And it's great to see that everyone is producing because of it.
Yeah. And right now they're the number 2 seed. You know, it's only time will tell if the Patriots lose again. But you know, they still have a chance to get that home field advantage in the first round. And if you look at the way that the rest of the AFC shaping up right now, if you look at the 2 wild card teams, the Bills are 8-3 now. The Steelers are 6-5, and the Steelers are, you know, they're not done. And they're in the same division as the Ravens, and they still have to play them again. So you know, that's going to be interesting to see. And as a whole aspect for the wild card, the Raiders, and they're still there. The Raiders are still right there, and have a chance.
Yeah, it's
crazy. And you know, to me, that it's interesting. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with the Raiders. They still have to go and play the Chiefs. So you know, they're a game behind the Chiefs. So that's gonna be interesting to see how the rest of the AFC shapes up. And then when you go over and you look at the NFC, the way things are right now. You look at the first seed, the 49ers, of course. And then, of course, you look at the second seed, the Saints, at 9-2. And then, of course, you know, you have the Packers and then the Cowboys, who I don't think right now are going to win the division. I mean, I know they're still on top right now, or they hold, they, you know, have a strong hold of that fourth seed, just like you said, because they're, you know, going to be the potentially the division winner. So they're going to make the playoffs with a, you know, mediocre record, even, you know, though like a team like the Rams would have a better record than them. It's unfortunate because that's how tough the NFC is.
Yeah, and you I mean, not just NFC, AFC too, because guess what? The AFC South is so tight right now. You got the Texans that are 7-4, but you have the Colts and you have the Titans both behind them at 6-5. That this division is by far the tightest. You can look at every other division. I mean, you know, the AFC East, you know, you got the Bills and the Patriots. You already know the Patriots are going to win, but the Bills are still going to be able to make the playoffs, hopefully in a wild card spot. But you look at the AFC. The AFC in such a disarray. You have so many teams 6-5, 5-6, and like I said, the Cowboys 6-5 winning the division. Like it's really crazy how tight these games are. The NFC North is going to come down to the end of the wire. It's all going to come down to, are the Packers going to be able to keep up the level of play that they had the last couple of games? I mean, so in the beginning of the season with the tenacity, and if the Vikings continue to produce it, what's gonna happen? It really is gonna get determined in the next couple of games. I can't wait to see the second half of the season and how it plays out. It's been a great first half, and the second half is just getting underway.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we're here. I mean, there's only a few weeks left, heading into December. So things are getting, you know, when it gets cold, that's when football is important. So football is about to be real important in the next few weeks. But of course, as we come to an end for this segment, this is what we're here for. We're here to give you guys what you want, which is a great show, great football talk. It's your guy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D-Dub, and we're out.